This is the Servers Radio Network. Welcome to this edition of A Server's Journey with Rocky DiStefano. The foundation of the show is that everyone is leading something or someone, and thus the name of the show is A Server's Journey.
And I'm Zach Davis, and we're here, and we just hope that we can, you know, learn together, teach together, and implement some great leadership practice.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry and Zach. I hope that everybody listening is ready to take a little bit of time, kind of clear your schedule, clear your mind. If you can, sit down or you know, just really kind of be intent on hearing what we're going to share today.
This is going to be one good show, yeah. I'll tell you.
Well, and we really believe this, that everybody leads something and someone. And every week we're going to come on Wednesdays and we're going to share this journey with you. And as always, our show is called A Server's Journey.
You know, I was afraid after today's show or when we were preparing this, that I was going to go out of here in handcuffs.
Well, you did. I noticed Larry did ask if he could get out of jail free.
Yes.
So normally you don't ask that unless you've committed a crime.
Oh, duh.
I saw the handcuffs start to slip out.
Oh, really?
Officer,
maybe we should say who's going to be on the show.
Okay, yeah, that's probably a good point. So today we're going to be joined by Chief Broadway, who's got a really interesting story of how he got to Claremont from New York City. He has done a tremendous job leading our police force here in Claremont, and Officer Cologne, who has probably one of the biggest hearts of anybody that I've ever been around. We're going to talk a lot about how they serve their officers and their community, and even why they do it.
And real servant leadership.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's amazing when you think of policemen with all the stories you hear.
That's right. And as I've said to Larry and Zach, very seldom do you attach the word humility with the police force.
Yeah.
And our police force is nothing but a group of men and women who care and who are humble and trying to do the right thing.
Well, they really put the men and police men. They put the people behind the badge.
See, this is why we've got him, because this is the virile veracity of youth. Look at that. I mean, just
what was that? Zero? What?
No, it's virile.
Virile. Virile. Oh, okay, good. I got that.
I have no clue what that word means.
I always tell Zach that he's a virile volcano of manhood.
Ooh, so, that's good. That
means
good.
You're strong like a bull. You know what I'm
saying? Yes.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate everybody who is making comments and listening every week. And
we do.
We would appreciate if you just tell one friend to listen. You know, hey, you know, I was out with having lunch the other day, and someone said, you do podcasts? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, how do you get that? I said, give me your phone. It's the podcast thing. So share it with somebody.
Yeah, and we are, we are humbled at every maybe crossroads of our show. We've had something enter and really give us a push. And the surprising, we never intended to do a podcast or have a show, and we never intended people to listen. And you guys are, and we're starting to hit some pretty impressive numbers. And Zach's been a great addition, and he's bringing a fresh idea, and he challenges us every show. So,
well,
Zach, we're proud of
you. The team just keeps growing.
That's right.
It started with the website.
That's right.
That's ACS Creative.
Perfect segue. See?
They helped us create the website.
Yeah, and Eddie and his group up there outside of DC, they can do everything. They can do everything from brochures, logos, direct mail, ad campaigns, websites. They're in-house, total in-house.
So wherever you are, they can be there because it's on the internet.
And the
you
best,
can check
the
them
best
out.
Thing about them, Larry?
They don't play games with your money.
Yep. Check them out at ACS Creative.
Epic moments in leadership. So what's it going to be today, Rocky?
Okay, so this is less an epic moment in leadership and more a surprisingly good quote from somebody you would not expect it from.
Oh, wow.
And this person was a leader, no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you can lead people astray just as easy as you can lead them toward good.
But yeah.
This quote is one of my favorites, and it's better to live a day as a lion than 100 years as a sheep. And who do you guys think said that?
I would say Jesus.
Okay. Good. You're going to be surprised then, Larry. Zach, Whoa. You got a guess?
So I already know who it is, so I think it's going to mess up my guess.
So tell us who it is, Zach.
Is it Mussolini, right?
Yeah, Benito Mussolini, who was not known for his humility for sure, but he was the Italian fascist dictator who kind of led Italy into World War II. And here's a quick story. My grandfather, I have a picture of my grandfather shooting down planes from a building next to Mussolini.
No.
Yeah, I do. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's epic moments in leadership, Larry.
Thank you very much for bringing that up today. Well, let's get into today's interview and bring our guests in.
So we are really pleased to have we have one in studio and one over the phone today. We have Claremont's own Chief Broadway and Officer Cologne. So thank you guys very much for coming to the show.
Wow.
Yeah, we're honored
to have
you.
Thanks for having us.
Seriously.
Absolutely.
We're honored to be here today.
So, look at that. Larry's got sound effects, too.
This is new.
So what we're going to kind of go right into the interview because I think we've got a lot to cover and it's some pretty exciting stuff. But, you know, as you know, we talk a lot about serving and we believe everybody is leading somebody or something, and it's just how you lead that makes a difference. So to start by telling us how many men and women that you guys serve as in your roles.
Sure. So we have approximately 81 police officers and then about 10 to 12 non-sworn officers or support staff.
Wow.
So how does that differ from when you came here? And how long have you been in Claremont now?
Okay, so I came to Claremont as a police captain in 2010. We had about 50 police officers.
Wow. Yeah.
And again, we're up to about 81 now. And by October this year, we'll be approximately 86 police officers.
Wow.
Wow. And you've added that many people because of the growth of the city?
Yes, correct. The city is one of the fastest growing cities in Lake County. So our current population is about 40,000. And then we have a large visitor population because we have a lot of triathlons and various different events throughout the weekend. We have a lot of visitors coming through Claremont as well.
Yeah, I think when we moved out here back in 1998,
Boonies. Yeah,
maybe 8,000 people and one traffic light on Highway 50.
So right.
It's definitely changed quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how about you, Officer Cologne?
I've been with the force since 2003.
Oh, wow.
So a long time.
Yeah. No, sorry, 2008.
Okay.
So that's still 11 and a half years right now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy. So, you know, we watch live PD all the time, my wife and I. and it's our favorite show.
It's kind of like your guilty pleasure?
It is, 100%. We go on, we put live PD on. But I don't think that really describes a typical day. I think it may be in the in-action moments. What's it like, you know, working, you know, as an officer and chief and all that kind of stuff?
Sure. I'll touch on the Cologne can touch, but you take it, a police officer throughout his or her career has seen everything from being involved into helping someone with directions to helping someone giving a young kid some advice to all the way up seeing someone in their worst possible situation. And those calls for service that an officer can respond to could change within seconds.
Yeah.
You know, again, they're here helping with someone with directions, and a call comes in that someone's seriously hurt or injured or dead, and they have to just change gears and respond to that type of call. So if you took an officer's career, 10, 15, 20 years, they've had such a variety of calls for service and everything in between.
Hmm. Yeah, I can believe that. And I would imagine that no day looks the same. It's hard to tell people this is a typical day because there may not be a typical day.
Right.
Correct.
Well,
correct.
Chief is the executive officer of the police department, but what about the person that's on the street? Mm-hmm. It'd be Officer Cologne.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Following with what Chief said, I mean, you go through phases. So you're excited at first. You have this strong desire to serve. You think about your life, and you know that it's going to be second in importance in the most important moment. And you go through phases as the years go by. You get kind of accustomed to the very negative, difficult, dark side of emotions of humankind, and you have to learn as time goes by how to deal with it. So it is quite a project if you fortunately don't actually give your life physically in service. You are going to get quite a chunk away if we don't learn how to deal with it.
I can imagine that. It's every leader, I think we kind of deal with that sympathy, empathy, feeling sorry for somebody and understanding what they're going through. And the more you care, the more you open yourself up to
absolutely
hurt. I mean, because you could believe in somebody. And with you guys, I would imagine that it's never a happy day when you respond to a call and you see somebody at their very worst.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, sure.
You know, that's
and like I said before.
Go ahead, Chief.
Go ahead. No, and like you said, an officer may not see that for weeks or 2 weeks, and everything is just pretty much routine. And then all of a sudden, he or she has to respond to that type of call. You know, maybe seeing someone respond to a call to suicide where they have to go in and see that.
Yeah.
And then talk to and deal with the family members who are in, totally stress mode and shock and dealing with the aftermath of that. It could be very intense on the officers of what they see. And people too have to realize too, these officers, that's what they're seeing. And they're, behind that badge and that uniform, they go home, they have to cut the grass, pay the bills, their husbands, their wives, their moms, their dads.
Yep.
So they have to have that healthy balance of serving as a police officer, but also taking care of their responsibilities and accountabilities at home as well.
Yeah, which, it's, and that's maybe your greatest responsibility, but I don't know about mm-hmm. you guys, but sometimes I have you, and my wife will tell me, you used all your patience today, and there doesn't seem to be any left for me, and it's a good reminder of, hey, this is maybe the most important thing I'm going to lead is my family.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
So true.
Yep. Well, Chief, you came to Claremont in 2010.
Larry, thank you so much, because I was going to ask them both how they got here and where they came from.
Yeah. So that's okay. Chief first.
So I was born and raised in Long Island, New York, a suburb of New York City. And at the early age, I wanted to be a police officer. It's something that my father could not do. Due to high blood pressure and some health issues, but something he wanted to do just couldn't get hired. And I became a police officer in 2002. I became a police officer in 1996 in New York City Police Department. Joined the ranks of the New York City Police Department and made my way through a detective there. First one ever in my family to become a police officer.
Wow.
And I was I remember working receiving a phone call on the morning of September 11, 2001, and said, Chuck, you have to come back to work because a plane just crashes the World Trade Center. So wow. I responded that day and weeks and months after to the search and recovery efforts as well, and responded to a landfill and helping out with those efforts as well. Hmm.
So, I would imagine that there's nothing in any book that can prepare you for something like that.
No, nothing at all. It was just a shock to everyone that was there. Couldn't believe what we saw.
Well, like in those moments, I mean, you see it on TV, but you don't expect yourself to be there. You're right there
Correct.
Looking at
right.
all this,
That's
and you're
right.
like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely.
And I've always said there's something, people play around or think that they would be heroic. But the reality is with firefighters, with police officers, they're the ones running into that arena
That's
of danger.
Right.
And it's got to, right. I mean, they're human beings. It's, maybe you've got a lot of adrenaline, but it still is a scary situation.
Sure. Sure. And that's why I do believe that police work is a calling, first response. I believe it's a calling. It's something innate, something indigenous in a person that wants to commit to a profession of serving and protecting. I really believe that you got to have that calling, something inside of you that really wants to do this and get involved in his career.
So how did you get from a city with 10 million stories to a little Claremont, Florida? You know?
So, yeah, good question. So we took an early time out of NYPD in 2002. We wanted to move to Florida, be closer to my parents, who were dealing with some health issues at the time. And they moved to Ocala. So we moved to Gainesville first. And then from Gainesville, we wanted to be outside the Orlando area. And we drove through Highway 27 and saw Claremont and really fell in love with it. And
the rest is history at that point. That's
right.
For sure.
Yeah. So now, Officer Colon, tell us kind of your story a little bit. Did you grow up wanting to be a police officer also?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just want to say first, I'm so excited to be here, Rocky and Larry, and especially to witness the interview of our chief of police. Very, very proud of him.
This is one of I can tell you, this is one of my favorite. Like, I was excited about having both you guys because I think you guys are kind of the poster child for serving not only the team that you're directly over, but you're serving the whole entire, I mean, in one way or another, you're reaching 40,000 people, some of which, some of which don't appreciate you at all. And, you know, it's got to be a difficult job sometimes.
I was going to say, do I get out of jail free card or anything?
Yeah. Well, why would you go to jail, Larry?
Well, just in case, just in case.
So tell us a little bit about where you're from.
Okay, so I've been honored and privileged to really start a very diverse life. I was born also in Manhattan, New York. And
the two New Yorkers, wow.
Yeah. And quickly at the age of six, settled down with my parents in Miami, where I learned more diversity. And in my teen years, lived in the island of Puerto Rico, where I was forced to really learn Spanish. And got involved in sales, lived the life of a salesman for many years, traveled the world, and also got involved in funeral and cemetery services, where I started learning about the sadness and the reality of certain things in life. So that kind of prepared me to finally, at the age of 33, when Hannah was born in Tokyo, Japan, I said, this is it. I got to do this. I got to become a police officer.
So how did you end up in Tokyo, though? That's, I mean,
yeah, we jumped from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico to
I was fortunate to have good savings, and I started traveling the world. And one of the things that I really wanted to do all my life and I accomplished was visit a certain area of Japan to learn about their culture and martial arts and all that.
Look at that.
That's how I arrived there.
So then at the ripe old age of 33, which is still very young,
yeah,
you decided to become a police officer.
Man, that special morning, November 28, 2003, 10:23 a.m., cold, 40-degree, rainy weather in Tokyo. I remember saying, I'm going to finally do what I've wanted to do all my life.
Wow, that's a pretty pinpoint memory.
Well, and it speaks to what Chief said about it's a calling.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you, mm-hmm. you know, and it's funny because I've seen a lot of my friends who've gone through the academy, have even been hired, but quickly realized this is not for me. I think you're mm-hmm. right in that you've got to be called because you got to remember your
why. That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, yes, that's right.
So we're doing a whole series on, you know, leadership and how do you care for yourself as a leader because you're caring for all these people. I can't imagine what it's like to be a police officer from an intense shift and then going home and having to, you know, fold laundry or cut the grass. How do you center yourself? What is the center? Because it's got to be a crazy parallel to go from that life, you know, into a, you know, an easy or not easy, but an everyday, you know, more simple life.
Sure. Well, one thing I encourage all my officers to. Well, first, as a chief, I really strive to create an environment at work so that people enjoy to come to work. And that's part of my servant leadership style is create that atmosphere, create an environment that people enjoy to come to work. They enjoy this profession, keep them motivated. So that way, then when they do go home and have other things that, hey, you know, it's not leaving from a stressful situation going to possibly another stressful situation.
Yep. Yeah, people, you know, we always say that people leave managers. they don't leave corporations. It's almost never the job. It's normally the person who's their direct report, which can make or break.
That's right. And I believe that truly does make a significant difference, especially people called to service where they're, again, seeing people, some people at times in their worst possible situations. We have a lot of events here. We stay active in our community, keep our officers plugged in. We have a state-of-the-art gym here to relieve stress. We brought on a chaplain, just different things that we do to ensure that, hey, our officers, our employees are taken care of so that they can truly, effectively, and efficiently take care of our community. But I believe we got to take care of our officers, so that they can effectively, efficiently serve.
Yeah.
That's crazy because we do something very similar at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we focus on our employees because we know when we focus on our employees, our customers will be taken care of.
Yeah. We always say that my customer is not the end customer, the person with a dollar bill in their hands. My customer is my team. And if my team feels loved and validated and known, then it's a natural outpouring that they're going to be that way to the guest.
I want to know where the gym is.
Yeah. Well,
Rocky hasn't put the gym in yet.
I can tell you, I knew that there was going to be some kind of athletic conviction because both of them are in great shape.
Yes.
And I would not want to get in the ring with either one of them.
Well, is there a challenge match coming up?
No, there's no challenge. I give, Uncle. Yeah.
Listen, we have two great community leaders here.
Yeah.
And one of the projects that they worked on, this is the most fantastic story.
Yeah.
So let's get into that.
Well, and so, Larry, I think you're referencing the Lincoln Park project. And I can tell you, I got involved in this with no effort on my own. It's really been all my team at the store and Justin Nichols. In fact, Justin Nichols here, he's our bodyguard today. And I would encourage everybody to go to the website and take a look at him because he is worth staring at.
He's been guarding our door. Yeah.
But really, I get the joy of getting credit that is not deserved. And I can tell you in this situation, it's been all of Justin. But I can't wait to hear, guys, tell us about that program and what it is and why you guys started it.
Sure. I'll let Officer Cologne talk, but I'll just open up with this. Is one of our strategies, our crime fighting strategies, crime reduction strategies, is community policing. And that has many facets to it. It's building trust in our community, building relationships, being involved in community events, officers getting out of their vehicles within their zones, respective area jurisdictions, meeting the community, just being very, very involved. I truly believe that the community are the police are the community.
Right.
So this community policing philosophy has truly worked. And Officer Cologne has done a lot of research. He's been to schools, been to a lot of different trainings. And our goal and our mission was to truly implement community policing here at Claremont. And Officer Cologne went out. He saw a need in a specific community and applied a lot of these community policing philosophies and tactics. And we saw crime significantly go down. We saw a call to service or trust built in this community where call to service increase as in given tips and information because of that trust that was built.
So
I'll let Officer Cologne go into more detail.
What was the Lincoln Park project? I mean, what was it like when you started this?
Well, great.
Go ahead. Yeah,
go ahead, Chief. Go ahead.
No.
An area where we had a lot of call to service. Drug sales, a lot of the elderly community that lived there complained in reference to being afraid to come out at night. They had to walk around drug sales, loud music, people hanging out to get to their homes. Mm. They felt that they were being bullied in their own neighborhood. And then I'll let Cologne talk about what was deployed there.
Yeah, Chief. And this went on for, I studied, I witnessed it, I worked there. I mean, there were times when we were prohibited to go there alone. We had to make sure that we had some backup either with us or very close by.
In my little hometown of Claremont?
Yeah. And I studied it for 7 years. This went on in a little corner of Lincoln Park called and I proudly call it Oakhurst now because that's the real name of these 14 homes. It's a block of 7 duplexes, and they're called Oakhurst. And for approximately 7 years, it was just rampant, like Chief described.
Well, I think at one point I heard a stat that the percent of calls from that area made up a large part of your calls every month, every day, and so forth.
Correct.
So talk about what you guys did. What did you lead with when you first went into the community?
How do you
I
start
can't
that?
Imagine that they're like, hey, great, come on in. You know.
Well, after the study, I spoke with Chief. And Chief, this is the great thing about a great leader. He's the kind of leader that will listen and ask questions and completely support you. Completely. And that's what happened. And this project, of course, number one factor was the support of Chief of Police and his administration. So what we did was we went in there and we started doing or conducting what we call non-enforcement activities. We would still do our job to enforce the law, of course, mm-hmm. but our main goal, the way we came in, was simply to connect, build trust, talk. We had surprise breakfasts in several times of the year. The greatest thing and feeling was to see their faces when we would knock on their door and say, hey, good morning, we have breakfast outside.
Yeah, and you're changing the paradigm because, you know, these are people that probably normally when they see a police officer was, okay, what happened? And now they're right. associating the police department with really good community activities.
Sure.
And so we did so many activities like sharing dinner with them. But we didn't do this alone. This is so crucial. We called in the community.
Yeah.
Businesses like yours, O'Reilly's, Lowe's, Habitat for Humanity. There's so many churches.
Yeah, it seemed like anybody you approached really kind of came on board. They were excited for this program. And I think that speaks a lot to both Chief and you that people trusted
that
you know,
support,
what you guys were doing.
That support is amazing.
So what was going on in this little area, this conclave little area? I mean, why were people so afraid to come out of their house?
Well, most of the owners of these homes did not live in the area. So
they're all rental then.
Yeah, 9 out of the 14 homes were rented.
And who were renting them?
People from everywhere.
Yeah.
But they were paying the bills, so they just kept living there. Now, that was one of the most difficult tasks, to get every single owner of this block to know about the situation and to support our new initiative.
Right.
It took time, but it worked.
So you feel like they got behind you too? By
absolutely, being... absolutely.
Yeah, so sure. What was their initial response? I can't imagine.
Yeah, you knock on a door and say, I got breakfast. Yeah. What are they thinking?
They're like, is this a drug bust? Or
right. In some cases it was, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Sadly, we had a homicide there, even right in the middle of the project, which kind of I just fell to my knees and I was like, "Whoa, what a blow!"
Yeah.
But if you study how things work, you know that when there is Newton's law, an action is always going to have some kind of equal or opposite reaction. So there was some resistance.
Sure.
But the work, this is the great part of this work. The work was full of honest, loving, good intentions, and people felt that, and it moved people.
So could you, like, was there a point that you kind of looked up and said, okay, they're beginning to trust us? You know, they're, because I think at first it's like, okay, we'll let you in, but we're a little bit nervous. And then at some point it reaches that tipping point where they see you as good.
Yeah, like Chief said.
I could tell you one point was after that homicide was that we received more calls and more tips than we've ever received for a crime in that area.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wow.
And they helped us solve that crime.
Mm. Yeah. So this is like the reason why we wanted to have you guys on is, and you guys are very humble people, so I'm going to ask you guys to put off your humility for a second. Talk about the awards, because this has been, you know, a program that has been recognized now statewide and even nationally. So talk about some of the things you guys have won.
So the state of Florida recognized this initiative that Cologne initiated. So basically, as Cologne said, it was non-enforcement activities. We deployed several non-enforcement activities in this community, everything from breakfast to potluck, to help with cleanup days and paint days, and got the community behind us, built the trust, and together, collectively, police and the community were truly able to make an impact to the point where crime reduced like 80-something percent, calls for service went down, and it's all because of these the relationships and the rapport that was built in this community. So we were recognized by the state of Florida of the League of Cities for an award. Officer Cologne has been asked to come and speak at various different training sessions for the state of Florida to talk about what the city of Claremont has done to employ these community policing techniques. Community policing philosophy within the agency. We had the largest decrease in crime within the Lake County. So Lake County, the state of Florida, experienced a 9% decrease in crime. The Lake County experienced a 4% decrease in crime.
Wow.
Claremont received the highest reduction in crime in Lake County from 2017 to 2018, which is 21%. And a lot of that has to do with Cologne spearheading these community policing efforts and initiatives.
Wow. Yeah, and didn't we just find out that, again, for the previous year, you've shown it continued improvement in reducing the number of crimes?
Correct. We have seen, you're correct, the last couple of years, we have seen a decline in crime in Claremont. That is correct.
Yeah, which is, it's amazing.
Congratulations. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I guess not congrats, but thank you.
Mm-hmm. So tell us.
Thank you.
What are you guys most proud of about this project? Like, what, you know, what has really been the, you know, the moment when you high five each other? If you high five, you know.
I'm just proud to see Officer Cologne in his element and building trust and out there with these community policing initiatives. And one thing that I was very proud of is that when Cologne was issued this award for his initiative, we had probably about 20. I think you were there too, Rocky.
Yeah, I was.
We had people from Lincoln Park, some almost with tears in their eyes, thanking Officer Cologne and the Claremont Police Department for their efforts. They're saying, "Hey, I could come outside at night now." To me, that was to see the actually community members that where we impacted and where we influenced to see the difference, and for them to come to that meeting and talk about the efforts and initiative and how it changed their livelihood. To me, that was the icing on the cake.
Yeah, yeah. You get that. You know, one of my favorite verses is, "Without a vision, the people perish." And people have to have vision. They have to have hope. And I think what you guys introduced is, hey, you can be the element of change within your own community.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And, I think it took off with it. And how about you?
And on that note, too, Coach Cologne also emphasized, hey, and we're here to help.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're here to help you achieve that vision and help you with that hope as well. So.
Right, right. And here's another thing about good leadership. Like, so this, I could not do this if I don't have his support, chief support, because I live and my coworkers are strong men and women. We are military oriented. Traditionally, we have three responsibilities: save lives, protect your rights, and protect your property or recover your property. That's it.
Yeah.
Legally, we don't really have to do this. We don't have to have breakfast. We don't. But again, kudos to Chief for his great leadership. He not only let me do it, but he also encouraged. This is the best part. To answer your question, what I'm most proud of is how each and every one of our officers is part of it. I mean, they have seen evidence of it, and they support it. And that's the most beautiful thing.
So I got to tell you guys, and I'm going to try not to tear up. I don't know about you guys, but I know you guys have daughters and kids. And ever since I've become a father, man, I've just become soft. I got to be honest with you, man. You know, it's not not always proud to admit, but I was at my Hancock location, and there's a young gentleman, and I won't use his name because I haven't asked permission, but he lives in that area, and he came from a very, very tough upbringing. In fact, his older brother had gotten into serious issues with the law. Mm-hmm. I mean, really had been a violent person. But this young man has been working with us for a while, and so probably about 6 months ago, Officer Clone came in, and we were both up front. I think we were just, you know, joking around with each other. And I said, look, it's Officer Clone. And he turned to me and he said, that dude is the real deal. And let me tell you what, like, you know, there's a BS factor, and they see right through it. I mean, if you're not transparent,
that's right.
And if you don't really add that heart, they're going to sense it. And to me, that was the highest praise, because he had nothing to gain by saying that to me. You know, and yet you could tell there was a real admiration and love for Officer Cologne. So
I appreciate it. But you know, honor to whom honor deserves. Again, I'm going to shoot it over to Chief, because it's just
this.
Not possible
like
for me to do this if I don't have his support. So here's the true leader here.
Fantastic.
Okay, so we're going to kind of transition, because we don't want to take up all your day, but we've got a part. We call it this one or that one. And I'm going to give you guys two things and ask which one you prefer, and maybe why you prefer that one. Do you guys mind playing along with us?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
All right. So the first one, two people, Elon Musk or Richard Branson from Virgin Atlantic Airways? Tough, right?
I got Richard Branson.
Okay. So tell me why you like Richard Branson.
Richard, I know about both. I really like Richard's style of leadership. Elon is good, and I think you spoke about this too, so I may be kind of cheating in my subconscious, but Elon is very goal-oriented, focused, but Branson attracts me more, his leadership actually resonates a lot with the chief's leadership, because he is more community, more reachable.
Yeah. Seems like it's a lot. Yeah. It would be much more fun to work with Richard Branson.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Chief?
I agree, Branson. The servant leadership, community-oriented, community-minded.
All right. So the second two are Stephen Jobs and Bill Gates.
there's humor in here.
Yeah. Hey, this is supposed to be tough, you know?
Yeah.
You can say both.
I'm going to go with Apple.
Okay.
Because I love how Apple works. They're philosophical.
Yeah.
They don't worry about their competition. Microsoft a little bit worries more about.
They may have tried to block some of their competition. Yeah.
And there was like four customers in a Microsoft store last week when we went to the mall. It was kind of sad.
Yeah, you go to an Apple store and it's like 150 people. It's like,
well, that's because they can't figure it out.
Yeah,
it's like me. I can't figure it out. You know?
How about you, Chief?
I have to go to Apple. I'm an iPhone user.
Yeah. You know what I love about Stephen Jobs is that he said, we don't create whatever, fill in the blank, phones, computers. We create beautiful things that add value to your life. I mean, it's a pretty good slogan.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And they're just constantly on the cutting edge.
Yeah.
I take after that leadership too. It's kind of like, okay, we did this. How can we do better? What else can we do to improve? What else can we do to make an impact? Yeah. What else can we do make a difference in the community? And they're just on that cutting edge, just constantly improving.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, so Steven Spielberg or Walt Disney?
Cologne goes with Disney.
Yeah. Okay, we have one for Disney. How about you, Chief?
Man, that's tough.
Yeah, I'm a big movie guy, man. So that's a tough one for me.
Yeah, Steven Spielberg, he's brilliant. You know, but Disney is brilliant too. That's a tie for me.
Okay, we've got a tie.
Okay,
good,
tie.
Cool.
Okay, so this is like one of those nerdier questions that we have to ask, because, you know, definitely this has become very cool, but Star Wars or Harry Potter?
Star Wars.
Star
yeah.
Wars.
Yeah, I think that may have to do, you kind of grew up a little bit more with Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up watching Star Wars, that's right.
All right. And so the final one is, and my daughters, really, this is their question. So they're huge Broadway fans. So we ask, do you prefer Broadway or rock and roll?
And of course, Broadway, Broadway musicals.
Okay, wait now. See, Chief surprised me. You like Broadway?
Yeah.
Really? I like that.
Yeah, I grew up in New York. I would take the wife out every once in a while, see a Broadway show. Yeah. Wow.
It's a good night, right? It's a great, you know.
Yeah, it is a good, it's a good evening. It really is.
Yeah, and Justin said it's your last name, so you kind of have to go. With, you know,
and that's right, Justin. That's right.
How about you, officer?
Rock and roll for me.
So tell me, do you have a favorite group or?
AC/DC.
Really? Look at that. See? Now I want to see him, you know, throwing his head back, driving down.
I want to see him rocking out.
I know. I'm going to bring him to a concert. Next time AC/DC comes, we're going to go.
Oh, boy.
That's a great answer. Yeah. That is a great answer.
Well, guys, I really appreciate you guys coming on. And I do mean this from the bottom of our heart. I've been so impressed with both you guys because you have one of the toughest jobs. Mm. And, you know, right now it seems like within the last 5 to 6 years, it is not easy being a police officer. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that have a mindset about the officers that serve them that's just not true at all. And so, you know, I really appreciate how you guys lead and how much you guys put your lives on the line every day.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Well, we want to thank everybody for linking up with us here today on A Server's Journey. Remember to subscribe to the podcast. You get the Server's Moment on Tuesday, and of course, this deep dive where you hear great people like the Chief and Officer Cologne. You want to be good leaders. You want to be good leaders serving. So until next time, Rocky, I'm your ever faithful companion, Larry.
And I'm Zach, and we just hope that you're learning and able to teach and implement the stuff that we're talking about here. We're so honored that you guys are here talking with us. We're learning. You know.
We learn every show we learn. It's kind of a great situation.
Yeah. Now, again, we want to thank ACS Creative for helping us, so thank you very much.
Go to our website, serversjourney.com, and kind of give us feedback and direction on where you want us to go.
And they don't play games with your money.
That's right, which is great. So we're going to remind you, as we always do, everybody's leading, and we just want to encourage you to be somebody worth following. I'm Rocky DeStefano. Thanks for joining us at A Server's Journey.